the best of this ummah after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are the Sahaba. The Sahaba, that word comes from Suhbah. Suhbah means companionship. So literally they are named what they did. Their practice of being with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they called him Sahaba. Now it didn't stop there. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam departed this world. The Sahaba were left behind. So now what happened is, there were people who now followed the Sahaba. They became close to the Sahaba, they studied with the Sahaba, they stayed in their company, they benefited from them, just like they did with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were given a name called the Tabi'een, the followers, the successors. They were called Tabi'een. Then after that, the Sahaba started disappearing from this world, the Tabi'een. They became prominent. Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah, Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib rahimahullah. All of these people, they became the next leaders, next righteous scholars. So now people started following them. The ummah gave them a name, Atba'u al-Tabi'een. The followers of the followers, the successors of the successors. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala al-mab'uthi rahmatan lil alameen. وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا إلى يوم الدين أما بعد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وكونوا مع الصادقين وقال تعالى واصبر نفسك مع الذين يدعون ربهم بالغداة والعشي صدق الله العظيم. So my dear respected brothers, our sisters, and our dear friends, and anybody else who's listening, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us during this time and all the time. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala relieve our brothers who are being oppressed and massacred. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect them and grant them their dignity. So, the human being. Today what we're discussing is the success of humanity, how humans can gain success in this world, and how they can go about in a healthy way, righteous way, and in a way that fulfills the purpose of their existence. The purpose of our existence is to be successful in this world for the sake of the hereafter, do something for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So today what we're going to discuss is the best way to do that. In fact, it's one of the only ways to do that properly, because it's the way shown to us by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it's also something that we can understand from a lot of other successful people. The human being, Allah has created us not to be alone. Allah has created the human being as someone who interacts with one another. That's why we have this whole system of being with one another, and the whole procreation to expand the Muslim ummah, to continue the human race. You have to be together. Only Adam a.s. was created from nothing, and Isa a.s. was created from a mother only. But it is important for us to be with other people. That's why in Islam, we're not encouraged to just go away for your whole life and worship Allah in a tent or in a cave. As Imam Abu Hanifa rahimahullah and others have said as well, that for you to live among people, interact with them, as a father, as a husband, if you're a woman, as a wife, as a son, as a friend, as a brother, and worship Allah at the same time, that is what is accomplishment. Because that's what Allah created us for. If we were told to be alone, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was in his cave and he received that first revelation in the cave, he would go there temporarily. Temporarily, you can go and stay away from people for a while just to detox, and that's fine. Even then, that is not what we've been recommended to do generally. Our recommendation for a retreat is in the masjid, in i'tikaf, where you have other believers. So our retreat is with other believers. Because when you're in i'tikaf in a masjid, you're still with Muslimin who come for prayer. There may be other i'tikaf people in retreat, but at least there'll be people coming for the 5 daily prayers. That's why i'tikaf is only done in a masjid with 5 daily prayers as well, so that you don't interact with anybody else. You just interact with mu'mineen, believers, musalleen, who come to pray. Because you need that. That's very important. So a human being, by their very nature, are social beings. They need companionship. Humans don't survive without companionship. That's the normal understanding of human beings. So now when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends good with somebody, He gives them good companions. He gives them righteous companions. He gives them pious companions. Because we benefit one another. I'll give you a very simple example to highlight this. When you're with good people and righteous people and pious people, it just becomes easier for you, for us, to be pious and righteous. I went on a very long road trip once. 4 or 5 days road trip through 3 or 4 countries. And I was with three beautiful people, but none of them prayed. In every other sense, they were okay. You know, they were good people, mashallah. But they weren't really focused on prayer. Now, we are driving for miles and miles, getting through borders, making sure we get through the border because some places are dangerous. You don't want to get stuck in one country. Borders close at 5 o'clock, so you're going through. Now, in between, it was so difficult to pray. Because I was the only one who thought I had to pray. Correctly so. But I had to play it well because the others, they're not really interested in prayer. Allah bless them. I think they all prayed afterwards, but they were not into prayer at the time. So what happens now is, oh no, it's another namaz time. We're going to have to find a place to stop. It's not always safe to find a place for wudu. Then they weren't actually Muslim countries either. So you had to find a place to pray. You're in the middle of some village somewhere. And subhanAllah, alhamdulillah, Allah gave us the courage to be able to do that. Now, just imagine that if all three of my companions were interested in praying and wanted to pray, would I have had to worry so much? Would I have had to convince them? I wouldn't have had to fight against it in the sense that, let's stop here. No, I have to stop. I can't miss the prayer. And so on and so forth, because they would have all, it would have been a group effort. It would have just made life easier. So in many things like this, we are influenced by the person or by the people that we're with. People who work in certain industries, who stay with certain companions, they start speaking like them. The lingo becomes like that, right? They become institutionalized, in fact. They start thinking that way, unless they're very independent thinkers and they can see what's good or bad. Otherwise, they just become like, if it's a good place, they become good. And if it's bad, then they become bad. That's why humans get affected. In fact, rather than listening to somebody and their words, we follow, without even realizing sometimes, what other people are doing, their movements, their physical attitude. We learn from that more than we learn from their words sometimes. So we learn from their physical movements, physical behavior, and we also learn from their speech and from their discussions and from what they say, from what they want. The other thing is, as you know, that we tell our children and others that be careful of the friends that you make. The thing with friendship, especially if it's close friendship and relationship, then it's a give and take. So if I have a group of three friends who like to go out to eat, and I keep saying no, I'm not really their friend, aren't I, anymore? Because I keep refusing to go. I'm not playing ball with everybody. I'm not a good team player. You know, why should I be with their friend? Why should I be their friend if that's what they like doing? If they like to play football all the time and I keep saying no, then I'm not really their friend. So when you have friends, right, and they want to do something, you're obliged to conform and to go along with it. And if they're not good friends and they want to do something bad, then it's going to be very difficult for you, unless you're a leader and you're strong, to say, no, I can't come with you. That's why it's just much easier to have a good friend and to have good friends and to have righteous friends. It's just the easiest thing because it's the company and the environment that will just get you to where you want to be. It's just much easier. This is just clearly psychological. In fact, there's a Dr. Steve Maraboli, his name is. I got a quote from him. He said, if you hang out with chickens, you're going to cluck, cluck, cluck. I've added the other two. He said, you're going to cluck. And if you hang out with the eagles, then you're going to fly. if you hang out, I've been with brothers, because I travel quite a bit, so I'm with different people at different times. So I'm sometimes with people who are investors, property developers. And as we're driving down from the airport to, you know, the masjid or whatever, they're like, yes, that's a really good opportunity. That's a good, really good investment opportunity. They just see it everywhere. You start seeing the same thing because you're with them, you learn from them. So it's with everything. From their discussion, you'll hear it. If they're negative people, I'm sitting with somebody, they're a negative person, they'll just be speaking bad about people you don't know necessarily, they're about who they know. And by the end of the half an hour trip, they've just spoken about so many negative people, you're like wondering, like, why are you being so negative for? So you get that negative vibe. This is human beings. This is human beings. This is just how we are. We get influenced by others. So one of our great awliya of the past, whose name was Ibn Isa al-Shami rahimahullah, he says, إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِالشَّابِ خَيْرًا وَفَّقَ لَهُ رَجُلًا صَالِحًا. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has intended piety for a young man, then he will give him somebody good to sit with, meaning a good companion. And Imam al-Sulami, who's another great waliullah, Imam al-Sulami rahimahullah, he says that إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِعَبْدٍ مِّنْ عَبِيدِهِ خَيْرٌ وَفَّقَهُ لِمُعَاشَرَةِ أَهْلِ السُّنَّةِ وَأَهْلِ السِّتْرِ وَالصَّلَاحِ وَالدِّينِ وَيَرُدُّهُ عَنْ صُحْبَةِ أَهْلِ الْهَوَى وَالْبِدَعِ وَالْمُخَالِفِينَ. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends with one of his servants goodness, then he is going to enable him to be close to and to have companionship with the people of the sunnah, the people of the veil and of righteousness and the deen. And he's going to keep him away from the companionship of the people of hawa and bidah, which means people who just follow their desires and people who innovate, who just like to do things that are haram and wrong and not necessarily good, and those who do wrong things. That's why ulama have mentioned that for us to stay in the company of righteous people as much as possible. You know, you can't just find a righteous person and say, I'm going to spend 24 hours with you. You can't do that, right? So what we do is, if we can't have the righteous person with you, then we try to at least be in their company as much as possible. Every now and then we try to be in there as much as we can without imposing. Right? I remember there was a scholar in a certain city, and there was somebody else who wanted to become very close to his scholar. So from north, he wanted to move to London, most expensive city in the UK. And he expected that he'll get, but the scholar was busy, so it's very difficult for the person. So you have to obviously try your best to always sit in good company as much as possible if you can't have more righteous. Now, the most important aspect is that the person we're going to be closest with, that we have a choice of, is going to be your spouse. So for husbands, it's going to be wives. For men, it's going to be wives. And for women, it's going to be husbands. Very important that we choose a righteous. They don't have to be a wali of Allah, right? Right away. If you can find a wali of Allah, alhamdulillah. But at least if you can find a righteous person who's on their deen, then inshallah, you will have children and an environment that will be good. For example, I know one brother. He wasn't praying well. He never used to pray too much. Didn't really have much of a beard. But he insisted on marrying a niqabi sister. He insisted on marrying a practicing sister with a niqab full and everything. For somebody like that, you'd expect them not to want a niqabi sister. Alhamdulillah, at least because of that, his children then became, at least had some piety and righteousness. So sometimes you know that I can't do enough, but let me at least get my partner to be somebody that's good, because that's good enough. That means you've got some goodness in you, and then you'll improve as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the verses I read at the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O people who believe, O you who believe, have taqwa, be conscious of Allah yourself, and associate with those who embody truthfulness. Kunu ma'as-sadiqeen. Be with the truthful ones, not those who just speak the truth, but who are true in their approach to Allah and in their response to Allah and to other people. That will help you have taqwa. Because when you have truthful people around you, it's just easier for you to function in a truthful manner, right? The company really is very beneficial. In fact, what Imam Ghazali says is that human beings, by staying with somebody else, will steal their behavior without even realizing. Have you seen? There'll be a husband and wife who are strangers in terms of family. They're not related. They're not from the same village. They're not from the same background even. They've been together for 5-6 years. And if you know them personally, both of them, they'll actually speak similar to one another. Even though they're from totally different backgrounds, they're not even family related. But that's how it becomes. You see, people who study with somebody, they will start speaking like their teacher. Sahaba tried to become like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is our history. This is the way. This what we're talking about comes right from our source, which is from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Companionship is one of the most important, significant features of Islam, because without the Sahaba, we would not be where we were. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam needed companions who he made into who each one of them a star that you could literally follow, a star, a proper star that you could follow, star in the modern sense, right? And they could all become fans, you know, that kind of an idea. Actually, fans is not the right word, because fans are very sensitive. Fans are very, very delicate. You can't mess with fans, you know. They're your fan one day, and tomorrow they'll forsake you, right? So in order to attain success in this world and cultivate our humanity, be with good humans. You want to be a good human? Be with another good human. And who better than the righteous? Those who've understood what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants in this world. That's why the other verse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the other verse, وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ. Why وَاصْبِرْ نَفْسَكَ? Patient, be patient with your soul. Keep steadfast with your soul. Control yourself and have patience with yourself to be with those who call unto their Lord morning and evening. Subhanallah, what does that mean? It may be a struggle, because you may not want to do that. There'll be people who are awliya Allah, who are righteous people, and they are with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They, mashallah, remember Allah morning and evening. And it may be difficult for us to be with them because we've got other competition. We'd rather be out with friends playing snooker or pool or shisha club or doing something else, right? Especially in the holidays. But Allah is saying, make an effort and be patient and be steadfast and put this burden on yourself to do this, because that will benefit you. So Allah is actually commanding us in the Quran to be patient and steadfast and be with the righteous ones that remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala morning and evening. That's the people that we want to be with. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us. If you look at our tradition, the best of this ummah after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam are the Sahaba. The Sahaba, that word comes from Suhba. Suhba means companionship. So literally they are named what they did. Their practice of being with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they called him Sahaba. Now it didn't stop there. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam departed this world. The Sahaba were left behind. So now what happened is, there were people who now followed the Sahaba. They became close to the Sahaba, they studied with the Sahaba, they stayed in their company, they benefited from them, just like they did with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They were given a name called the Tabi'een, the followers, the successors. They were called Tabi'een. Then after that, the Sahaba started disappearing from this world. The Tabi'een, they became prominent. Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah, Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib rahimahullah. All of these people, they became the next leaders, next righteous scholars. So now people started following them. The ummah gave them a name, Atba'u al-Tabi'een. The followers of the followers, the successors of the successors. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had already mentioned this, Khayrukum qarni. The best of you is my generation. Thumma alladhina yalunahum. Then those who will follow them. Thumma alladhina yalunahum. Then those who will follow them. Now this tradition, after the Tabi'een passed away, then we had the successors of the successors. The same tradition continued, but the terminology didn't carry on. It would have become too long. Atba'u atba'i tabi'een. It would have become a bit too long, right? So now the terminology never can continue, probably because the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ mentions about the first three. However, the idea still carries on. And until today, for example, my sheikh, who I try to study spirituality from, I can trace myself through him up to the Prophet ﷺ. There's a whole chain in that sense. So I trace it to Sheikh Yusuf, rahimahullah, to Sheikh Zakaria, rahimah, to Sheikh Khalil Ahmed, to Sheikh Rashid Ahmed, to Sheikh Haji Imdadul, and so on and so forth, up to the Prophet ﷺ. So the tradition has continued. And there are multiple chains like this of righteous people. And make sure if you find a righteous people, find people who are legitimate, who remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala morning and evening. That is the sign of it, right? So this tradition has continued. And I would say that our shaykh, whose name was Shaykh Yusuf Mutala Rahimahu, just passed away a few years ago. The amount of work that he has done, right? The amount of work that he has done may have never happened had he remained in his little village in India, remained in his little village. And you can take this for any example of any big scholar. My other two teachers, Maulana Bilal Saab and Maulana Abdurrahim Saab, may Allah protect them, they are currently in Bangladesh. Right, in, I don't know which, there's a big jalsa, a big program going on. Which town is it in? It's in Bishnat. Right, they're there right now. And I'm, mashallah, in little Bangladesh here in Tower Hamlets. They're in the big Bangladesh and we're in little Bangladesh here, alhamdulillah. Right, Allah give us same barakah that they're getting, inshallah. Right, so none of this would have happened if Sheikh Yusuf did not travel to Saharanpur to his sheikh and became, mashallah, in his company, of the righteous company. And then his sheikh said, you need to go to England and start a madrasa. He didn't want to stay here. But that's what his sheikh has said. So that's why he started, Darulum Berri was created. And after that, so many madaris in the West have come from there, right? To such a degree that I owe literally everything. What I'm speaking in front of you today, for you to have invited me and even considered me something, even though I'm nothing, is only because I studied and I benefited from our sheikh, and he benefited from his sheikh, and it carries on up to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So may Allah reward all of these righteous people, and may Allah make us of that. Don't think that this is only for special, it is for everybody here. This door is open for everyone. Being with the righteous people is how we learn our piety, and right? It's just easier to do that. So this tradition endured and it carried on as you see today, mashallah. And there are many examples of this. There are many examples of this. So let us understand the benefit from some of the hadith. Now there's a very famous hadith that I'm not going to repeat because everybody knows this hadith. Do you know the hadith, our little brothers here as well, do you know the hadith of the guy who killed 99 plus one people? Right? I don't want to say 100 because it was 99 plus one, right? He killed 99 first, and then he went to a guy who was just a worshipper, not a scholar, and said, I want to do tawbah, I want to get out of this, I've been doing drugs, I've been selling drugs. You know, just imagine modern day, somebody's doing this. And so there's a guy, he contacted me a few years, he said that my two brothers, they've actually studied the deen, I'm a drug dealer, nobody knows though. I keep it really hidden, right? I want to get out of this. So I told him this, that and the other. And he said, no, I need more understanding of this. Then finally, alhamdulillah, one day he called me. He said, I've left London. I'm outside somewhere else. That's where I'm staying. Because you can't stay within the same bad company and change. You can if you're very strong. Because it's very difficult to change within the same evil company if you're around them. Everything reminds you. Everything reminds you. We learn this from this hadith of Bukhari and Muslim, of the person who killed 99 plus one people. What did the person say to him when he went to the scholar after he'd killed 100 people now? He said, you're going to have to get out of this area. There's that area which has a community of salihin, of righteous people. You go there and that will make a difference. Right? You go there and that will make a difference. So he left. He left. And as he's going, he's departed from home. He's not even 50% of the way yet and he dies. Right? And then the angels came. One wants to take him to hellfire, one wants to take him to paradise. And they said, finally, okay, we're going to go according to where he's closest to. If he's closest to his hometown, where there were bad people, we're going to take him to hellfire. And if he's closest to the other side where he's going in that direction, we'll take him to paradise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has everything under his control. He said to the land on this side, the earth, you expand. And on the other side, he said, you contract. So he was made out. When the angels came to measure, he was made out to be closer to his destination of righteous people. Subhanallah. So there are multiple narrations like this that give us that idea of how beautiful this is. So, Ali radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu, he says, Alaykum bil ikhwan. It's necessary for you to be with righteous people, proper brothers. He uses the word ikhwan for Arabic. Ikhwan is the plural of brothers. What he means are proper brothers that fulfill the rights of brotherhood for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Be with brothers, be with righteous people. Why? Because they are your preparation and assistance in this dunya and the akhirah. Okay, how do you prove that? How are righteous brothers going to help you? We can understand in this world they'll help you because they do good, they don't do bad, so they'll assist you, you get inspired by them, you're in their company, you want to do that as well, right? How do they help you in the hereafter? So then somebody must have raised that question. So he says, "Ala tasma' ila qawli ahli an-nar." Haven't you heard what the people of hellfire, in the hellfire, will say? They will say, "Fama lana min shafi'ina wa la sadiqin hamim." We're in hellfire now because we had nobody to intercede for us. Nobody to tell Allah, "Yeah, let them go on my behalf. They were with me. They were my friends." We didn't have any such good friends. Wala sadiqin hamim. Neither did we have any pure friends. A pure friend will look out for you in the hereafter as well. The righteous, if you sat in their company, will look out for you in the hereafter. You know, a simple hafiz of the Quran, according to a narration, he is allowed to take 10 people into paradise. Right? So normally what I try to do is, if I find somebody who's memorizing the Quran, I try to give him some money as a gift, like, "Brother, this is a gift for you, because I'm hoping that I might become one of the 10. You know, that he takes to paradise. Yeah, that guy gave me £10, £20, you know? MashaAllah, he gave me 10, 20 pounds. Because I remember when I was writing my first book, one of my first books, one Mawlana, he came to see me. When he heard it, he pulled out 20 pounds. This was 25 years ago. He gave me 20 pounds. That was a lot of money then. 20 pounds now, you know, is two meals, right? But then it was a lot more money. And I still remember him for that. And I think he's got a reward for every book I've written after that, because that really inspired me. So give people inspiration. Be a good person ourselves in order to do that and assist other people. So if a hafiz, a simple hafiz, and I don't mean simple hafiz, right? But somebody who's righteous, who's a hafiz of the Quran and everything else, or he's not a hafiz, but he does good in this world. That's why many of the ulama, they said, have good companions, because in the hereafter, good companions, righteous people, are sincere. And if they will look after their people, because they're not doing it for an ulterior motive. They're doing it purely for the sake of Allah. So they're like, "Where are my friends? Where are my companions? Where are those people who used to sit with me? On the day of judgment, they're going to be looking, and I'm hoping my shuyukh, who I've sat with, I'm hoping they're going to be looking for me, inshallah, right? And ya Allah, help this guy out as well. If you're going to help us out, if you've given us tawfiq to go into paradise, we want to intercede for this person. So please look out for one another." That's what good people do for the hereafter. Just like you think people do good for us in this world. مَا لَنَا مِنْ شَافِعِينَ. We have nobody to intercede for us. وَلَا صَدِيقٍ حَمِيمٍ. No true friends. No pure friends. We don't have anybody to help us. That's why Imam Ibn Hibban, great hadith scholar, he had to conclude. He said, الْعَاقِلُ يَلْزَمُ صُحْبَةَ الْأَخْيَارِ. Anybody who's intelligent, who's really clever, who really understands and is prudent and knows what he wants, he's going to have to be in the companion of righteous people. He's going to benefit from their company. He's going to learn things from them. And in the hereafter, he's going to benefit from them. He's just maximizing his chances. Imam Abu Darda, Sayyidina Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, he said, "Min fiqh ar-rajul," from a person's understanding. Like, if you want to see if a person is smart, so it's min fiqh ar-rajul, from his understanding, is mamshahu wa madkhaluhu wa makhrajuhu wa majlisuhu ma'a ahli al-ilm. He's going out, his walking, his entry, his exit, his sitting is going to be with the people of knowledge. With the people of knowledge, so that you can learn. He expects that the people of knowledge here are righteous people as well. Assumption is that if you're a person of knowledge, most people of knowledge are righteous people, because you learn and you practice. He says, you're a clever person, that's what, because you learn from these people. You increase your chances. Luqman, Sayyidina Luqman, alayhi salam, he said to his son, and this is separate to what's related from him in the Quran, it's separate to that. Ya bunayya jalis al-ulama, my son, sit with the ulama, sit with the knowledgeable people. Wazahimhum bi rukbatayk, compete with one another to go and sit in front of them on your knees. Meaning, try to get close to them. Because there'll be a lot of people who want to get close to them. You try to do that. فَإِنَّ الْقُلُوبِ لَتُحْيَى بِالْحِكْمَةِ كَمَا تُحْيَى الْأَرْضُ الْمَيْتَةُ بِوَابِلِ الْمَطَرِ. Why? Because we've got a heart. Everybody has a heart. That heart has to become alive. Has to be nourished. Has to be fed. And it has to be fed wisdom. Wisdoms. And that wisdoms come from wise people. And from righteous people. Just like a dead land needs rain, and then it becomes alive. You know, Shah Waliullah, one of our greatest scholars of the Indian subcontinent, right, from 300 years ago, he said something amazing, and that's when I started understanding this. He explains, sitting with a righteous company, what's the benefit, he says. He says that, you know, righteous people, they are constantly receiving rahmah, mercy, blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're constantly connected. They've got the Wi-Fi connection to that source, right? Unlike many of us, right? We've got key locks on, right? We've not got the password yet. Or maybe we have, but we have a very small bandwidth. We've got a bit coming down. These people, they're getting, it's not 3G, man. This is like major G, right? This is big G, you know, this is, mashallah. They're getting outpouring from the higher assemblies, from the angels and so on. Allah is just showering them. Now there's a hadith, and I used to always wonder about, there's a hadith which says that there's people who are remembering Allah. And then the angels come and visit, and they tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah knows they're doing it anyway, but he asks, why are they doing this? And they say, they're doing it for your sake and so on. And then Allah says, be my witness that I'm going to forgive all of them. That all of them are forgiven, right? So one of the angels, he's a very pedantic angel. He's like very particular. He said, but ya Allah, there's a guy in there. He wasn't there for dhikr. He came there to get his keys or something. He was just sitting there waiting for one of the guys. He wasn't really there. He says, that's fine. These are people, la yashqa lahum jalis. Anybody who sits with them can not stay without being fortunate as well. That's how powerful this kind of company and companionship is. We need just to get more of it. We just need to get more of it. We need it at least once or twice or thrice or four times a week. If not, you know, 7 days a week. Coming to the masjid gives us some of that at least. Right? Because everybody who's a believer has some piety. Right? Just don't argue with anybody and don't gossip with anybody. Otherwise you lose it all. You go outside, start gossiping, and you lose it by the time you start looking here and there, haram, and then you lose it by the time you go home. Right? So we come to the masjid so many times, but we don't maintain that and take it back home for our families. So anyway, going back to Shah Waliullah, he says that when there's a righteous person of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has a showering of this mercy and blessing. If you're sitting around with him, some of that is going to be sprinkled, it's going to be rebounded on you. Because you know when there's rain coming somewhere, it rebounds. You're going to get some of that. Sahaba, Umar radiallahu anhu, every second day he was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the other day his companion was with, because he had to go and work. Right? Can you imagine? Two brothers, I've seen people, mashallah, there are some families, they have two, three brothers and they have business. So at any one given time, they've already got somebody in the path of Allah. The others look after the business, one guy goes out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He comes back, another one goes, subhanAllah, what a wonderful situation. It doesn't have to be brothers, you can do that with partners. If you find the right companions, you can do that to then go and benefit from that. Ja'far ibn Muhammad rahimahullah, he says that, oh my son, he was speaking to his son, he says, anybody who intermingles with ulama, he will himself become honorable. Because you're going to learn something. People say, oh mashallah. And in fact, a lot of people, I always hear, you know, he's very close to Sheikh Salim. He's very close to Sheikh Yusuf. He's very close to Sheikh Abdul Rahim. You know? Because the point is that he's maybe being close to him. So that in itself gives you honor. But we're not doing it for that. We're not doing it so that we become known like that. We're doing it for our own benefits. Really, ultimately, that's what it is. I want to benefit. That's why I want to be with the righteous. You know what I do? When I go for Umrah or Hajj, or I go to any other country, I make a dua as soon as I get there. One is, Ya Allah, you do the Sunnah dua, right? The Sunnah dua is, oh Allah, give me the best of this place and the best of what it contains, and protect me from the worst of it and the worst of what it contains. Then I say, Allahumma habibna ila ahliha wa habib salihi ahliha ilayna. It's a sunnah dua, beautiful dua. You should go this. You land through Biman at Bangladesh airport in Dhaka or Sylhet or wherever it is right here. You go, make a dua straight away. I make dua, I go to, you know, anywhere. I make a dua straight away. Oh Allah, make us beloved to the people here, so that at least they won't throw you out. They'll teach you well. They'll respect you. They'll honor you. Alhamdulillah. You know, you don't want to be treated with indignity, do you? Right? But only make salihi ahliha. Only make their righteous ones beloved to us. Because when you travel, if you get inclined to the wrong people, that's very harmful. So only make the righteous. Then, that's from the sunnah. Then I always make this way. Ya Allah, I've come here. Allah, give me somebody I can benefit from. Make this trip a beneficial one. Find me a salih, some salihin that I can learn something from and benefit from. So that's a dua that we can do anywhere, really. But especially when you're traveling to a new area, then you want to be in good company. Imam Abu Dawood says, I said to Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, Man tujalis? Who do you sit in the company of? Whose company do you sit in? Because remember, there's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a famous hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that the example of a righteous companion, sitting partner that you would sit with, is like the person who goes into a fragrance shop. And there's loads of them nowadays. You go to Saudi, every second or third shop is a fragrance shop. Now everybody's buying fragrance like crazy nowadays, alhamdulillah. But so you go into a fragrance shop, either you're going to buy something, or at least you're going to do a tester, or you're going to come out at least smelling nice. There's a bakhur going on, so you're going to come out smelling nice. On the other hand, if you go to an ironsmith, the one who's making the horseshoe and who's beating the metal, and there's sparks flying around and the heat and the fire that's kindled down there, you're either going to come out with some, you know, with some holes in your clothes, or at least smoked, right? So it's a very similar idea that people have that effect on one another. Literally, people have that effect on you. You'll be perfumed with goodness, or we'll have odor, which the angels can see, and will come out inspired by the wrong thing. Not inspired, but affected by the wrong idea, or inspired by the right idea, depending on who we sit with. So always have good friends. And our little brothers, right, who are sitting here, you have to choose good friends at school. Otherwise, what they're going to do is, if you choose the wrong friend just because they look cool or something like that, and they want to go and do something gang-related, they want to do something that's haram, they want to do something that's wrong, you're going to be obliged to follow, because you're going to have peer pressure to follow. Just don't go into that. Always have good people. It just makes life easier. Anyway, so Abu Dawood asked him, Abdullah ibn al-Mubarak, who do you sit with? Where do you get your companionship from? He said, oh, Ujalis Shu'ba wa Sufyan. I sit with Shu'ba and Sufyan. They're my companions. Now, Shu'ba and Sufyan, he wasn't really with them. So what do you mean? Rahimahullah al-Jami, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mercy on them. Abu Dawood said, what he meant was that I read their books. If you can't find somebody to sit with all the time, then read their books. Read the books of the righteous. That will affect you in their life. Now, you know the Shu'ba ibn al-Hajjaj, he was from Basra. Great muhaddith, rahimahullah. Big hadith scholar, hadith master, amazing guy. So, there's a person called Muhammad ibn Ka'b, or Abdullah ibn Ka'b al-Qa'nabi. He's also a hadith scholar, but he wasn't a hadith scholar before. Just show you what companionship can do. He was a gangster. It says that he actually had the description in Kitab al-Tawabin of Ibn Qudama, it mentions that he had red trousers on. Now, I don't want to judge anybody with anything red on, but I think he was trying to say, when you wear red, like for a man, it's not seen as cool, right? It's seen as sick, as people, the gangsters call it, hey, that's sick, man, you know? Whereas it's properly sick in the literal sense of it. Sorry if I'm confusing anybody who doesn't get that, right? So it just goes to show what kind of person he was. He had invited his friends over for dinner, for a meal. And there's no WhatsApp in those days, or there's no, you know, he doesn't know where they are. He's invited them and he's waiting. He's got the drinks ready as well, the sharab. Sharabi, qababi, right? I don't know what exactly he had a meal prepared. His mother had prepared the meal and he had the drinks ready. So he's sitting outside on his doorstep. And suddenly he sees this major imposing figure coming through with people around him, his students. That was Shu'bah ibn al-Hajjaj, the great muhaddith of Basra. So he got a bit curious. He said, who is that guy? He's coming down like this. Who is this guy? Somebody said to him, that's Shu'bah ibn al-Hajjaj, the great muhaddith. So literally he says in Arabic, for those who understand, he says, Ay Shu'bah. In slang, it's like, Ayyu shay'in shu'bah, like, what the heck is a shu'bah? I mean, I could say that worse than that, right? Like, what is a shu'bah? Like, who is this guy? What's so big deal about him? So he goes up to him, right? You can see he's a very brash, gangster-like type of guy. Goes up to him, and he says to him, so they told him he's a hadith scholar. So then he goes up to him and he says, hadithni, relate a hadith to me. He's like, relay a hadith to me. You know, like, if that's a gangster style of speaking, I don't know. Right? Relay a hadith to me. So Shu'bah looks at him. He says, you don't look like a student. He thought, you don't look like a standard student, you know, of knowledge. Right? So he says, you don't look like a student. He pulls out a dagger and he says, hadithni aw ajrahuk. Either you're going to relay a hadith to me or I'm going to stab you. Right, with his... Now Shu'bah's got nothing to lose, rahimahullah. He says, okay, fine. So he related from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his chain. He said, قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ إِذَا لَمْ تَسْتَحِي فَاصْنَعْ مَا شِتْ. If you don't have any embarrassment and no shyness, then you can do whatever you wish. That penetrated this person's heart. It's a righteous person that... Rahmah and blessing and mercy and all of that was probably showering down on Shu'bah. He goes close to him to stab him and mashallah, he gets some of the sprinkles of that. And that just stuns him. He goes back home. He gets all of the drink and spills it down the drain. And he says, look, I'm off. I'm going. When my friends come, to his mom, he said, when my friends come, you feed them and I'm going. He went and he became a hadith scholar. He went to study, became a hadith scholar. He changed his company, went to righteous company. And today, mashallah, when we read the 6 books of hadith, we read his name and say, rahimahullah. And he was a gangster. Change your company. Change your company. And there are so many people we know over the last 30 years I've seen who were not doing very good, but they changed their company, they went to study, they went to a madrasa, they went to go and study with the righteous people, and mashallah, or they just... They don't even go to study. You don't have to study. You can just be in the righteous company and you change your life. So many people I know, they were so much mischief, so many problems. And today, mashallah, they are decent individuals that are respectable individuals. They're not even scholars. They've just become respectable because of the company they kept and now they are in good company. So, subhanallah, Fudayl ibn Iyad says, إذا خالطت فخالد حسن الخلق وحسن الخلق actually if you're going to mix with people, mix with those who have good character. فإنه لا يدعو إلا إلى الخير, because they'll only invite you to goodness, they'll be sincere. وصاحبه منه في راحة, and you need to have his company with comfort. Imam al-Qurtubi, he says something really amazing. You know, in Surah Al-Kahf we have a verse in verse 18. وَكَلْبُهُمْ بَاسِطٌ ذِرَاعِيهِ بِالْوَصِيدِ. So these 7 sleepers or so, 7 or 8 sleepers that we had, Ashab al-Kahf, we just had a special dua in their cave in Jordan just 2 months ago after this carnage happened with some of the big awliya of there, made a special dua. So they had a dog. They didn't have a dog. The dog just accompanied them and stayed with them. They were put to sleep, the dog fell asleep. Or it was just there, the dog was there. So that dog is going to be with them. Dogs don't usually, no animal goes to Jannah. This one's going to go. So Imam Qurtubi says that this dog gets this high status because it stayed with the awliya, the Ashabul Kahf, the cave dwellers. They were awliya. They were sulaha. They were righteous. Such that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions him, mentions this dog in the Quran. So then he says, فَمَا ظَنُّكَ بِالْمُوَحِدِينَ الْمُخَالِتِينَ الْمُحِبِّينَ لِلْأَوْلِيَاءِ وَالصَّالِحِينَ Then why, what do you think about those people who are believers in the oneness of Allah, who are always in the company of the righteous people and who love the awliya and the salihin? Why wouldn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them success as well? That's the secret to our success. Stay with the salihin. I feel it when I'm not able to meet somebody for a while. I feel it. You just feel like you're degenerating. So it's very, very important for us to understand that. Now, a few more hadith to mention. We'll open it up for questions, inshallah, for you. Imam Bukhari and his student, Imam Muslim, right? Imam Muslim and his student, Imam Bukhari, they both have transmitted this hadith. Famous hadith, again, you've heard the hadith, so I'm not going to mention the whole hadith for you. There are seven individuals whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will shelter in his shade on the day when there'll be no shade except Allah's shade. And among them were two people, two men who love one another for the sake of Allah. This has to be for the sake of Allah. This love for one another of the righteous people has to be for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So not just any companionship is worthy. Because if you have companionship with the evil people, that's going to be bad for you. So it's only companionship that is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is good for you. So another hadith is, Imam Muslim relates this hadith. Very interesting one. This is not so well known. A man once went to visit a brother whom he was associated with only for the sake of Allah. Not a family member, no business, nothing. Just purely for the sake of Allah, I'm going to go on and learn something. For example, you go to visit a scholar, you go to a lecture, you go to a class, only purely for the sake of Allah. No business, nothing, right? Allah sends an angel who approaches him on his path and asks him, where is your desired destination? The person said, I hope to visit this particular brother who I know in this village. The angel said, do you have any business with him that you hope to profit from him? He said, no, I just love him for Allah's sake. That's why I'm going to visit him. The man responded, right? So the angel then said, he knew. He said, rejoice, I am a messenger from Allah to you. And he wishes to inform you that he loves you. Allah loves you just as you love him. This righteous brother for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah loves people who love others for Allah's sake. A pure relationship. Another hadith which Imam Bukhari and Muslim both relate and Muslim Ahmad. It says, indeed the chambers in paradise, special chambers in paradise for those who love one another for the sake of Allah are seen splendidly. Others will see it splendidly. Like the bright stars of the east or the west. So you know at night time when we see the east or west, they will see this person's place and chamber like the stars. Somebody's going to ask, and who are those people? Who gets to get there? You know, who just achieved that? Response will be, they are the ones who loved one another for Allah's sake. That is the benefit of sitting with righteous people for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Having any pure relationship with anybody will give you that anyway. So now, I'm just going to quickly read to you what productivity expert, lifestyle experts say about just positive companionship. Forget about righteous companionship, they're just talking about positive because they don't understand righteous. You search for righteous companionship, you're not going to find the non-Muslim telling you about righteous companionship. They're going to look for, they're saying, what are the benefits of positive people, right? You can understand from that, which is a good thing, but you can understand that you're going to get this plus more. So they say, number one, positive people are going to influence you, which means righteous people are going to influence you, right? That's one thing. Number two, it says, positive people can alter your perspective on life. Righteous people will be able to alter your perspective on life. You may have never seen it that way, and now they're like, no, you need to do it this way. They inspire you to believe in yourself. And by associating with positive people, you begin to embrace their positive qualities as well. Number two, they help you in better stress management. Less negativity. And righteousness is, mashallah, positivity on the boost. Like, mashallah, boosted with Allah, you know, with Allah's mercy and so on. I'm not going to read you all of their description because, you know, I want to give you some time for questions. Number three, it improves your physical health. How does associating with somebody positive improve your physical health? They've done studies on this saying that it helps you because mentally it helps you. That usually a lot of our physical debilities are from a mental debilities as well, right? Psychological debilities as well. That's what I think they're saying here. They help you to make better choices, for sure. Even the righteous people will do that, right? Wise decisions and so on. And they help you to become successful. Of course they do. They help you to become successful. No, they're talking about just in this world. We're talking about in the hereafter as well. So anybody would tell you that. Company benefits you, right? All of these people, they tell you the same thing. And number six, they keep you away from negativity. Righteous people keep you away from the hellfire. And they'll make you focus on paradise. They'll make you focus on Allah and positive rather than negativity and hellfire. And they motivate you to follow your dreams and goals. Make you optimistic. And what greater optimism is there than a true understanding of the hereafter? I am absolutely just astonished, taken aback, surprised and happy. And crying at the same time when you see a mother or a father, they've just lost 5 members, 10 members, 3 of their children. And they're just looking at Allah. Rather than crying and giving up, they're like, Ya Allah, accept. Just saw one the other day, Ya Allah, accept them. Accept them as shuhada. And then they're speaking to them saying, give my salams to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Give my salams to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. I mean, how do you think of all of these things when your children die? You must have love for these people. Why would you remember Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu? Not to say he's a bad guy, subhanallah. But you must be really in tune with the deen of Allah and really have that in your mind to be able to say that, you know, to remember Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhu as well as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when you lose your loved ones. What love you must have for these salihin. And you will be with whom you love on the Day of Judgment. So this is what we talked about, positivity, as I said. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to find the right people. It will just make life so much easier. If we have bad people, we need to slowly either change them or we need to give them up. Or we need to replace them. Remember, we always need somebody. So you either have good or bad. If you already have bad, we need to replace them. You can't be alone. You need good. So how do you get good? If you find somebody who's good and you can be with them, great. Don't encroach on their space too much. Otherwise, they'll throw you out. If you push them, I'm being practical here. Ask Allah. Ya Allah, give me righteous company. Ya Allah, give me righteous company. Ya Allah, give me righteous company. Give me pious. Give me the pious. And that has been the tradition of the good people of the Muslim world, that they did what the Sahaba did, which was to find a mentor, to find a sheikh, to find a righteous person that they could be with. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala surround us with more positivity. And may Allah make us our families positive and righteous for us as well. So there you go. That is some of the benefits. And may Allah give us the benefits. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. So if you can't have righteous company, then one of the best things to do is to read about the company, about the life stories of the righteous and their books. So I would suggest what I've benefited from personally. Saviors of Islamic spirit, right? So that's not just about righteousness, but it's about productivity, practicality, high achievement, high resilience, and mashallah, right? So I would suggest by Sheikh Abul Hassan Ali Nadwi. That's one. Then I would suggest biographies. I would start with a seerah. And then there's books like Hayatul Sahaba. Right? Amazing to understand how the best of them after the Prophet ﷺ lived. And then find the biographies of the righteous people. Find the biographies of the righteous people. And there's quite a few that have been written. Not enough. Not everybody has it's been written about. But try to read that. And of course, to really better understand this issue, one book I would definitely suggest is called The Essentials of Islamic Spirituality. It used to be called The Path to Perfection, but it's not Essentials of Islamic Spirituality by Maulana Masihullah Khan Sahib. But it's all the teachings of Maulana Shavadi Thanwi about righteousness and what to look for in righteous people and so on. There's a beautiful book that is not yet published, but we've nearly completed it. Imam Sha'rani's Adab al-Suhbah. Imam Sha'rani was this great wali of Egypt. I visited his complex. It's still there in one of the main roads of Egypt. Highly influential scholar who wrote a number of different books. And he had so much going on in his area that it became like a competition to Azhar University in his time, right? And he's written a book called Adab al-Suhbah, which means the art of companionship, the etiquette of companionship. Like, how do you find a good person and how do you be a good companion? So inshallah, that should be published soon, make dua. So that's a beautiful book. If you can get the Arabic edition for now and that, I think there may already be a translation available of it by somebody else as well. So that's a beautiful book as well, inshallah. And just read any book on the righteous people. There's lots of book others written on that subject. Yes, brothers. Good question. So if somebody, a righteous person, is going to intercede for you, then when does that intercession take place? Is it before you get punished or after you get punished if you do some punishment? Allah knows best. It probably depends on how powerful they are, right? Because not everybody gets all types of intercession. There's about 5 or 6 levels of intercession. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam gets to do all of them or any of them as he wants. Other people are given a certain amount, right? We're just going to hope for the best, right? But the way we deal with this is that we don't, that's not our primary option. That's a secondary option. Our primary option is we do the best that we can so that we get directly accepted. But that's just the backup. Actually maximizing our possible investments so that if this doesn't work, then that works. If this doesn't work, our tahajjud, inshallah, doesn't work. Not inshallah, doesn't work, but our tahajjud that we do, maybe if it doesn't work, our sadaqah don't work or something, maybe that will work. We're just trying to maximize, inshallah. The way to love somebody for the sake of Allah, as this new book we're working will make that very clear, what it says is that you love them for Allah, which means that everybody's defective, right? So if something comes from them which is defective, you still love them for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means you're not loving them for themselves. You're not loving them because you expect to benefit from them. You're not loving them if they give you things. You're not loving them. They might tell you off one day, but if your love is for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you look all beyond that. It's for the sake of Allah. That's why I'm loving this person, as long as they're beneficial. That's true love. You fulfill all of their rights. You go out of your way to sacrifice your own self for their self. Right? So there's a number of etiquettes that are mentioned of what it means to be a sincere brother to someone. Right? Where you have to give up yourself for them to the best of your ability. And it should not be dictated by selfish motives. It's dictated purely for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means that you do it to make Allah happy and to benefit from that. Okay, jazakallah khair. MashaAllah. Alhamdulillah. Allah bless us during this holiday time. Alhamdulillah. The point of a lecture is to encourage people to act, to get further, an inspiration, an encouragement, persuasion. The next step is to actually start learning seriously, to read books, to take on a subject of Islam and to understand all the subjects of Islam, at least at their basic level, so that we can become more aware of what our deen wants from us. And that's why we started Rayyan courses, so that you can actually take organized lectures on demand whenever you have free time, especially, for example, the Islamic Essentials course that we have on there, the Islamic Essentials Certificate, which you take 20 short modules, and at the end of that, inshallah, you will have gotten the basics of most of the most important topics in Islam, and you'll feel a lot more confident. You don't have to leave lectures behind. You can continue to leave, to listen to lectures, but you need to have this more sustained study as well. Jazakallah khair, and assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.